Welcome back here to X's and Bros on this Monday morning, the 19th day of October 2020. We welcome you here to the Michigan Sports Network from Traverse City down to Toledo. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. Ryan Elke and Danica Hadlin in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the radio bunker as we approach World Series begins tomorrow. We're approaching that time of the year. The Fall Classic is officially here. NFL football over the weekend, college football over the weekend. And very important college football coming up this weekend. So excited about that. I don't know where that's at, Dan, as far as the Doc Emmerich news. So if you want to share that with the folks.
Yeah, I did put the link on the sheet for you there.
Oh, what a guy. Go to the sheet then. I'll go over here. Huh, guess what? I'm at the sheet. Here we go. Doc Emmerich is retiring from the NHL. He is calling it quits with his broadcasting career. That's this story come out this morning, huh?
6 o'clock this morning they dropped that, yeah.
Why would he do something like that to us?
In our time of need, how is Doc going to leave us?
Well, he's 74 years old, so, I mean, at some point, enough's enough, right? Like, at some point...
No.
And I always wonder about this, right? So people that are involved in like how long do you think Joe Buck will go? Like how long?
I mean, Joe Buck's what? Would you say he's 55?
He's been doing it since he's 21.
Yeah, I think he started in 95, so he's probably 50, right around there.
He's 51.
So I mean, maybe he does it till he's 70. That's still a long. That's a lot.
That's a lot of games.
A thousand more games, probably.
Oh, easily. Easily. I mean, think about his schedule. Like, last week, he went World Series Baseball into the weekend for football, and then he'll have, football again tonight because of the doubleheader and one of the games on Fox and NFL Network, the early game is, and then he'll go back into the World Series for next week. Like, this is his crunch time where baseball and football overlap, and so the guy's just running a million miles an hour.
And
where's he at right now?
Not only that, yeah, he could be in an airport. Who knows?
Could be sleeping on a private
He's probably
plane.
Getting tested.
Every 3 hours.
At least once a day.
More than Nick Saban.
He's getting his brain scrambled by that stick.
Impossible.
I got my nose hairs waxed. My buddy put a COVID stick up there when he yanked it out, and it was something fierce. You guys ever do that? You got any, like, scragglers instead of, like, tweezing them out? They just put the hot wax in
there? I've seen that done on TikTok or something. That looks painful.
I mean, yeah, and he'll just walk up to you and be like, oh, yeah, he'll, like, take a look at it, or he'll, like, talk to you and then rip it out so you don't know it's coming. Which I'm just like, you can tell me. You don't even have to count. You can say we're going to do it now and then just do it. But don't
yeah,
just
I'd rather brace myself.
By ripping my schnoz out. Like, oh, my goodness. But it's to the point where, like, he's got to put his hand on the top of your head, on your forehead, so when he pulls it out, you know what I mean? Anyways, neither here nor there, COVID swabs aside. Like, Joe Buck is a legend. Like, that's what he is. Joe Davis, I believe, is the young man's name who called the game last night, game 7 of the NLCS. He is actually the Dodgers play-by-play man, but does some college football, does the Dodgers, took over for Vin Scully. You know, that's a really, like, if you get in young enough, it's a really, really good career.
Right, and he's done a few playoff games this year throughout, you know, whether it's been on TBS or Fox.
He's great.
He's great. And I believe he's somewhere from around this area, I believe.
Yeah, he went to a small Division III college where he played football at, if I'm not mistaken. And got his start, just did like a couple college games and boom, ended up like just exploding. And now he's living in LA and doing that whole thing, and wife, family, and the kids, the whole deal. So good on him, man. You know, winning at this game of life. But for Doc Emmerich, yeah, it's a tough loss for the game of hockey. He's a wonderful ambassador for the sport. He is an iconic, all-time, legendary type of voice. His use of the thesaurus, simply incredible. And it is a style that will never be duplicated, never be replicated. Like, he's one of one. He truly is. And I think that if you look back at how Ernie Harwell presented a game, Ernie Harwell is one of one. And I think that as a broadcaster in the play-by-play realm, you know, I really enjoy Dan Miller. Really do. Like, Dan is, he's as nice as they come. And he's got a good job, multiple jobs, right? Doing TV in the morning, calling the game in the afternoon, going back to TV in the evening. Like, a Sunday is a very long day for him in the football, during the football season. And I love his presentation of the game. I love his style. And the fact that he's a good person on top of it, that's just icing on the cake, right? There are certain people that you grow up with that you become accustomed to, and depending on what part of the country you're from, the Pittsburgh Steelers guy. The Pittsburgh Steelers radio play-by-play guy sounds like the dude from Smoky Snuff, and I love him. You ever heard those Smoky Snuff commercials? It's like the tobacco-less chew? That real dark, real deep, raspy voice, or Smoky Stuff. That's what he sounds like. He sounds like something out of a movie. He's a perfect voice for the Pittsburgh Steelers, real blue-collar town, you know? And for Doc Emmerich to have that impact on a national scale is pretty impressive. For hockey fans all over, today's a tough day because they know that you'll never get another one of him. And if you got to enjoy him, you got to enjoy him. And if you know, you have kids that will never know, that they will never know. Whoever comes up next, hopefully they can, you know, try to fill those shoes, and you know, you do the best that you can where you're at with what you got. But trying to recreate anything near Doc Emmerich's style is going to be simply impossible. And he's a Bowling Green alum.
And a Michigan resident.
And a Michigan resident. There you go. So, Dan, you know, do you know him? You know his
people? No, I do not know Doc. I wish I did.
I'll call him. Hey, Doc, let's talk about your retirement.
Maybe now that he's retired, he can come on, you know, be on the show once a week or something. That'd be pretty nice.
Be phenomenal if he wants to do anything. But at the age of 74, you've given your whole life, you know, in the hockey season. Obviously, it's different if you're not a team broadcaster. If you're a team broadcaster, you have just about every game, unless they're on the national side. But if you're a team broadcaster on the radio end, you have every game. You know, so you're on the road a lot when it comes to baseball, basketball, and hockey. You're just traveling a whole bunch. It's a lot different than football. Maybe you just want to, like, that's it. Like he said, he's got a frequent flyer mile. He's got enough of them. Now he doesn't want to go anywhere. And now he can't go. You know, 71 years old. At some point, you got to enjoy life, right? And I'm not saying he didn't enjoy his work, and I'm not saying that he wouldn't go back and do it all over again. It's fantastic. Like, it's much better than working in a coal mine for 40 years. But at the same time, like, yeah, okay, like, you know, and I think that maybe this is a good thing to look at from a societal standpoint. Is we spend our entire lives just working, 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 working. You know, we live to work. We don't work to live. I think that there's a stark difference there. You know, but hey, you got to do what you got to do. Life's expensive. It's not cheap here in this country. You know? All right, what else is going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up real quick right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Big news yesterday, the Detroit Lions beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 34-16 on the road in Jacksonville. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Did they answer some questions, or did they just beat up on a porous Browns team? I can't really figure it out. 38-7 winners for Pittsburgh over Cleveland. How about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, a 12-7 victory? They have a baseball game take place against Louisville? Don't really know. Speaking of baseball, we've got the World Series is set. It begins tomorrow on Fox. The LA Dodgers against the Tampa Bay Rays. That is your matchup, as the LA Dodgers were able to finish things up yesterday, take care of some business, and be able to walk away a winner, which is obviously a huge plus, beating the Atlanta Braves 4-3. Thought we got the matchup that the baseball fans want, the one that they deserve. Ty Lue has agreed to a 5-year contract to coach the Clippers. And how about Purdue's Jeff Brohm? Boilermakers say he had a presumed positive COVID test, so I don't know what that means. We're back with more of X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Huge here for my good friends at DraftKings. Now, week 6 is happening this weekend, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to the week 6 excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. So download that DraftKings app. Remember that promo code HUGE. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 6 action. Enter code HUGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Now there's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember to download the DraftKings app and use promo code HUGE for your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes.
Gun leaning in. There's the snap. Matthew wants to throw. Does end zone caught. Touchdown Detroit Lions. TJ Hockenson. And the Lions add to their lead.
That was it. That was the pass that gave Matthew Stafford a touchdown pass completion against every team in the NFL, except for the team he plays for, obviously. He's now 31 for 31. Joked about. He said, "When this is done, if I get that touchdown pass, you can put that on my tombstone." Completed a pass against all 31 NFL franchises. So I think that was pretty funny. Good for him for trying to keep a sense of humor. All right, we're gonna shift gears a little bit away from football. I want to hop into what happened on Saturday night. Did you watch the fight between Vasily Lomachenko and Jose Cito Lopez? Wow. First off, 10 o'clock start time. That was what I was told. That is not when that fight started. I am better than
11:58.
I am smarter than that. I knew it. And I was like, no, if they say 10 o'clock, it's on ESPN. So they got to probably be pretty close. Bruh.
Dude,
it wasn't
they have
close.
Fight. They have other fights, Anthony. You're a boxer. You know this.
Those other fights started at 7:30.
One of them lasted a minute and 19 seconds. Like, we actually made time up. And then they still drew it out. And I'm like, okay, well, they're still, you know, trying to hit that 10 o'clock mark. And I'm like,
you don't think it was coincidence that this fight started at the exact moment that the baseball game and the college football game ended? You don't think boxing actually fixes things to, like, benefit them?
Oh, why would you say it like that? You know, you could have said that they were trying to hold off to try to get as many viewers as possible, or maybe get some of the crossover crowd of people that were leaving the Alabama-Georgia game or whatever. But you had to say fix. You had to say it.
What?
You had to do that. Anywho, did you both stay up and watch the main event?
Yes. I mean, we were texting each other during the fight.
You want to hear something?
I know that we were, but the audience doesn't know that we were.
You want to hear something devastating?
Uh-oh, your cable
this
went
is
out.
No, Anthony, okay, this is no joke. All right, you guys know that Wi-Fi, it's either 2.4 megahertz or 5.0 megahertz. Well, my Xbox, our Wi-Fi has been switching back and forth lately for some reason. We can't figure it out. And an Xbox can only connect to 2.4. Well,
PC gamers shouldn't be allowed to play anything.
With a minute 31 remaining in the final round, our Wi-Fi decided it was going to change to 5. I swear on my life. 1:31 left in the fight, I texted my roommate. I was like, did the Wi-Fi just go out? He's like, oh no, what happened? I was like, there's a minute 30 left in the fight, and I can't watch it. So then I got back.
So you missed the best part of the fight.
So I got back on the internet basically as they were announcing the winner.
Did you, so were there many people, or were you just watching it like by yourself, or were there a lot of people?
No, it was just me.
Oh.
It was 2 a.m. I mean, what did you?
I mean, we had a gathering for it. So I went to a local spot and got the place called, you know this place, Pete's Garage.
Oh yeah, I know Pete's Garage.
Yeah. So I called Pete's and we ordered 80 chicken wings. And
of
so
course.
And I'm walking out with these two bags and everybody's looking at me like they saw a ghost, because I'm talking like two big bags, like. And we did some damage. Like, we did some damage on the 80, but, you know, we had little plates to go in case, but, you know, whatever. And my buddy's girlfriend, she made, like, some buffalo chicken dip and homemade guac. And, you know, it was a good time. So we got some people together. We watched the fight. Now, that's why I was asking if you watch it with a group of people. Is it one of those things like, hey, we're streaming this, so everybody log off the Wi-Fi and just turn it off.
Just turn your phones off. Just...
We're getting that bandwidth has got to be at maximum bandwidthiness right now.
Yeah, see, like... Yeah, I stream as well, and I have issues when I try to stream it on my television. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I'm using my phone, iPad, laptop, no issues. So when it got to, like, the 10th round and my TV was acting up, I was like, I have to just go to the iPad. Like, A, it's closer to real time. It's only, like, a 5-second difference, so I'm not missing much, where my TV's, like, almost 30 seconds to a minute. Mm-hmm. And with boxing, like, that's... too long of a dip.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if you miss out on a minute, you missed out on 30% of a round.
Right. So I just went right to the iPad, just like I'm just gonna sit here in the dark, just watch this on the little screen, and just I need to watch the end of this, because like the middle rounds, like Lomachenko like was catching up.
Yeah, yeah, he surrendered like the first 4 rounds of the fight trying to figure it out, and I think that the power and the speed of Lopez caught him off guard. I really do. I think that, in the, you know, because he's a slow starter. They touched on that in the broadcast, but that's what he's going to figure out, like what you want to do, and then he's going to try to knock your head off. But I think that when, you know, it's one thing when you're figuring out what somebody's what they're trying to do, and you don't necessarily, and he had mentioned like he's aware of Lopez's power. But I think getting hit by that is a whole other story. And Lopez's hands, my goodness, is he fast. Holy mackerel. And he put it all on display. He put it all on display. The guy's got 5 belts. Incredible performance from Jose Cito Lopez. From the opening bell on, like, he was just ready to go. And he had Lomachenko backing up a majority of the fight. Then, as Ryan just mentioned, hey, middle rounds, Loma starts to come on a little bit. I didn't have it. I mean, one of the judges had it
119-109.
Yeah.
Yeah, that score, like, that's when they crazy. Announced it, when the first score announced 116-112, I was like, okay, hey, it's Lopez won this. I was like, mm-hmm. That seems fair. Like, that seems close. But then when they said 119-109, I was like, what the hell is this all about? Like, this is garbage.
119-109, you lost one round, according to that judge.
It's like there were 4 straight rounds where Lomachenko took the rounds easily in the middle of that fight.
Well, yeah, and that's why you have 3 judges sitting on 3 different sides of the ring, because
then you have one judge that's an idiot saying 119-109.
Yeah, that score to me was preposterous. And I think that when you have a score like that, that individual needs to be looked at as far as the...
I believe the
legitimacy of their.
That was the female judge. I believe they said her father had been doing, that for 50 years, and she had like 700 fights.
You can't have nepotism in boxing judging. Like, oh, well, my daughter wants to judge.
Oh, that. But you get mad at me for saying the F word when it comes to fixing the time of when the boxing match started.
I was like, wow, I'm not going to get mad at you for saying the real F word unless you said it on the air, but now you're talking about fixing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 119, like, that's one of those where they need to be, there needs to be a review. Like, the Nevada commission needs to take a look at, like, okay, let's go back through and see if she's actually, like, what are we actually doing?
Right, here? And at least with the fight, too, when watching it, it's like, everyone knew Lopez won, so it's not like when you see the scores, like, okay, it's not like it that cost Lomachenko like the win at all, or like made it a split decision. It's like, okay, well, Lopez clearly won, but these scores are just a little weird.
Yeah, and I think for fight fans, you know, and for fighters in general, you never want to see the fight go to the judges' scorecards. It just so happens that it happens a lot more in boxing than it does like in UFC. I feel like UFC, you see a lot more knockouts. But one of the fights before this, a youngster by the name of Edgar Berlanga, who's only 23 years old, who now is 15-0. He was taking on a guy on Saturday night who had never been stopped before. Did have losses, but had never been stopped in a fight before. Berlanga beat him in a minute, 19 seconds in the first round, knocked him out. Well, didn't knock him out, but got a TKO stoppage. Like, that's crazy. And, I mean, he had this Berlanga kid is, he's nice. Like, he hits hard, or real hard. I thought what also was interesting was watching the fight without fans in attendance. To have a fight of that magnitude but not have anybody around to be able to hear the fight differently. You know, the slaps, you know, you hear the breathing, you hear the slaps, that's one thing. You start to hear thuds, that's when you know something stuck, and that hurt a lot. And Berlanga bodied his man real quick. A minute and 18 seconds, like, boop, there he goes. So that he is what's next. He is the next must-see television fighter. Yeah, he was phenomenal at 160 pounds. And as for Lopez, we'll see what happens next. Probably got to move up in weight class at some point. We'll step aside. College football this past weekend. Big Ten starts this week. That means it's now all for real for us. That's next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Halloween at Meijer means ghoulishly good savings for you. This week, buy five and save $5 instantly when you mix or match Halloween favorites like Hershey's snack-sized bagged candy, just $2.79 each. 24 packs of Pepsi and Coca-Cola, just $6.99 each, plus deposit where applicable. Plus, enjoy free Meijer pickup on orders of $50 or more. Visit Meijer.com to get started. Find spooky savings and more when you buy five and save five at Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Huge here for my good friends at DraftKings. Now, week six is happening this weekend, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to the week six excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. So download that DraftKings app. Remember that promo code HUGE. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week six action. Enter code HUGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Now there's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember to download the DraftKings app and use promo code HUGE for your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your auto value parts store, where service is the difference. We get it.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop Dot 4 brake fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at myautovaluestore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
And right side, fighting it into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Adrian Peterson takes it to the house, and the Lions are on the board first.
It's a lot of loud screaming there. Adrian Peterson, he's turned out to be a nice player. That was a good acquisition. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elke joining you. Freddie wants to know, it's a good question here. What are the chances, 1 to 10, Matthew Stafford will throw a touchdown against the Detroit Lions in his career? So I asked that in the break, and Dan brought up a really good one too. So what are the odds that Aaron Rodgers throws one against the Packers? Do you think the Packers will have a swan song or an extra bonus year, if you will, somewhere else, like a Tom Brady, like a Joe Montana? Does he go that direction? Does he go that route, Brett Favre?
I'd say for both, probably like, I don't know, 25%.
Or do they just retire with the
team? Even if they go somewhere, it's like, okay, where are they going? And will they have a chance to play the NFC North that year?
Right. And I think that Matthew Stafford, after this contract, probably has some years left in him. If he wanted to. Like, you have enough money now that you don't have to do this anymore. You really don't. Like, that's crazy to think about. Like, you can just be done. You can just be done. But if you play another season, you get a nice little contract. You know, college tuitions are paid for and all that good stuff. So it's interesting. I want to get into a little bit of the college football realm because, obviously college football has still been happening. I don't necessarily feel like there's been a lot of interest in it, though. And I don't know if it's just me, but I've been trying to, like, go through the web and, tune in and watch games. Alabama and Georgia late on Saturday night during the fight. We've had a whole plethora of postponements so far. My question is, how is all this going to affect college basketball? But it was really tight there in the first half. Georgia and Alabama exchanging haymakers, and Georgia carrying a 4-point lead into halftime, only to get blown out in the second half, 21-0 in the final two quarters, and lose 41-24. So down go the Georgia Bulldogs. What happens to them? Clemson, they played a conference game against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is awful at football. The Ramblin' Wreck is done. They are kaput. They got beat 73-7. That's bad. That's a Rutgers level beating right there. That's what that is. That's bad football. Louisville, Notre Dame. Somehow Notre Dame is ranked number 12 in the country. Or pardon me, ranked number 4 in the country. They score 12 on Louisville. That's what I was trying to get at. How in the hell is Notre Dame ranked number 4 in the country? Can anyone logically explain that to me? Anybody?
Because the Big Ten hasn't played yet. Ohio State will jump to 2 on Sunday. Penn State will probably jump up to 5. Where's Michigan ranked? Michigan or Minnesota? Whoever wins that game, they'll jump up in the top 10.
Yeah, but we have teams like
those teams are ranked already, but because they haven't played, I believe they're kind of viewed more conservatively in the rankings, to where when they actually start playing and winning games or playing games, that this big, all right, Notre Dame, okay, you were cute. You're going down to 9th.
Will they do that, though? That's my question. Like, will they?
Will do you they don't do think that? Ohio State will easily jump Notre Dame next week when they beat should. Nebraska 54-2?
Oh, just going to pummel them. Just going to pummel them. But why is it every single season this team gets the benefit of the doubt every year? The last time they got into a championship title hunt, they got absolutely obliterated. They didn't belong in that field. People are going to give you the Brian Kelly this. Brian Kelly's no Lou Holtz. No Four Horsemen. But this right here, this is why. This whole facade of what Notre Dame is. And here they are at number 3 in the country. You think Notre Dame's going to beat Georgia? Come on. Do you really think Notre Dame can beat Georgia? What voter believes that? What voter believes that? And look, I don't know. Do we have to have them ranked? The AP rankings are trash. They're terrible every year. Ohio State beat writers have Ohio State collectively. They did like a poll of all the guys on the beat. They have it like collectively the added record of like 396-1. One writer has them losing to Penn State. Are these media members? Or are they slappies?
I mean, to be fair, those Ohio State writers are probably right.
That's not the point, Ryan. Not the point.
Pulling Michigan writers and the Michigan State writers and see.
I don't know how, like, I don't know what to even feel good about. But this right here, like, this is all why. It's the majestic, like, how do you recruit to South Bend? You ever been to South Bend?
Yeah, Jesus is there.
Outside of Jesus, there's nothing else there. You get on 80-90, you start going west, you just drive into just no man's land. It's just corn, just fields everywhere. And then you get there, and you're like, oh, it's a beautiful campus. This little neighborhood where all the professors live, like, that's nice. the other side of South Bend looks like Youngstown. That's what it is. Like, it's like, where are we right now? You're like caught in a time warp. It's what you are. You're caught in a time warp of like Newt Rockney. And then this movie came out, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, what a great story. It's because they have this giant TV contract, and they're on TV every week. They're Majestic. Like, you're telling me right now, you have two Division I FBS offers to go play championship football. You going to South Bend, Indiana, or you going to the U? It's a no-brainer. Like, at least if you go to Ann Arbor, there's stuff around you. You go to East Lansing, there's not really anything around you. You're just kind of stuck in the middle of the state. But it's still, it's a great party school, so I'll give them that. Can't have a bad
time
in Michigan
State. There's a good campus,
all right? There's a good campus. You cannot have a bad time in Michigan State. You can go to Ann Arbor, you can't have a bad time. It's possible. Michigan State, it's kind of impossible. Great party school. You know, Ann Arbor, there's stuff around it. USC. Texas. I'm not going to Alabama. It's not happening. It's not me. That's not my. I'm not going to Auburn. I'm not even dealing with that state as a whole. I'm dodging
it's
Alabama.
It's not happening. Stop not talking happening. About it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So quit asking. Right? Just about anywhere else. Sure. But like, what is the draw here? Every single year, that school gets the benefit of the doubt, and it drives me absolutely insane. You remember the 2012? What was that, Fiesta Bowl fiasco or whatever that was? It's like 42-0. Manti Te'o was out there running around. Every single year we hear about Notre Dame this, Notre Dame that. They're going to be right back. They jump in on the ACC bandwagon for this season because they're kind of in. They got a half a foot in, a half a foot out. So they're basically doing the hokey pokey with an entire conference. The conference doesn't care. They're like, yeah, we can't sell any tickets for Boston College or Georgia Tech anyways. So as long as we have Notre Dame, like, they got some brand power. Not even about the football. It's just about the brand. And that. That bothers me. 12-7 over Louisville. Come on. Fourth best team in the country. Come on. You're not serious right now. Fourth best team in the country. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. It beat a team 12-7. Louisville. All right, so we're at least we're going to get some college football. Have you guys been watching any college football this year? It has been outrageous. It has been outrageous. You got to score 40 points to win football games this year in college football.
Well, then Michigan State's not winning a game this year.
I'm concerned for you. Although Mitch Albom did just write about how he's very confident Mel Tucker's the guy. Haven't seen a game yet, but I am guilty of this as well.
Say, I'm getting there, but it's one of the things, like, I think he's going to be more aggressive on defense, which gets me more excited. Then I just completely ignore what offense Michigan State has or does not have, because that just still scares me.
How devastate, like, so we did have some, we had some upsets throughout the, did you watch college football at all this week? Was that on your radar at all?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I watched a little bit of Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, okay. Alabama. Just there wasn't, like, it was already more depleted because it was pretty much an off week for the Big 12. I think the only game they had was like West Virginia, Kansas playing. So like the noon slate was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a down week to begin with. We had three postponements this week. Cincinnati and Tulsa, LSU, Florida, and then Oklahoma State and Baylor all got postponed. So all those games were shelved. Kentucky beat number 18 Tennessee. Can you imagine Clay Travis? Oh, he must have been miserable. Auburn got beat by South Carolina 30-22. So thanks for playing Auburn. Miami beat Pittsburgh 31-19. Pittsburgh, I mean, like, they haven't been good in a long time. Let's face it. But then again, Pittsburgh is basically what Iowa State is, but Iowa State has more like allure to them. Why? I have no idea. For me personally, I know, but from a national perspective, I have no idea. You mentioned Texas A&M. They beat Mississippi State 28-14.
Because Iowa State puts up points, where if Pittsburgh wins a game, it's 20-17, and
your boy
somehow
Pat.
It's all field goals.
Scored 20 points on all 3-point field
goals. Somehow.
Somehow. They made it work.
They got a 2-point field goal somehow.
Off the bar. Florida State snuck one out against North Carolina, who is ranked number 5 in the country. Like, come on. This isn't college basketball. It's college football. No way North Carolina, the 5th best team in the country. Then you had Alabama beating Georgia, Nick Saban on the sideline. I saw people tweeting about this is a bad look for Nick Saban. This is sending the wrong message. If he's not positive, if he's negative, he's negative. What message are we sending here? That's what I want to know. When I saw Rex Chapman, who I really enjoy following on Twitter, does the whole block charge thing. He's like, Nick Saban coaching tonight sends the wrong message. What's the message? You're either positive or you're not. You either have it or you don't. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what we're doing. Nobody does. Nobody has any idea. So Georgia's playoff chances drop a little bit. And according to the playoff predictor, Clemson now is going to make the playoff. They have an 87% chance, followed up by Alabama at 82%. Ohio State has not played a game yet. They got a 68% chance. Wait to hear this. Wisconsin's got a 40% chance. Yeah, okay. Georgia at 28%. Oregon at 22%. They haven't played a game. Penn State's got a 21% chance. They haven't played a game. USC at 18%. No games for them. BYU and Oklahoma State rounding out the playoff predictor. BYU and Oklahoma State. So I bring that up to say this to you. Because I am a fan of having some sort of set criteria to make it into the playoff, not just all like, oh, yeah, let's just all sit in a room and we'll just figure it out, the selection committees. Nah. No, we know who makes the NCAA basketball tournament. If you win your conference championship, which that's another debate for another day, but if you win that, if you get hot for that four-day, five-day, six-day stretch of your conference championship, you will get a bid into the NCAA tournament.
So if you go like 10-0 in your league, but you say the league is a little bit down than the surrounding areas, they should get into their playoff. Rehashing about that Ohio school we were talking about earlier in the show.
Are you talking about what exactly? Wait, are you talking about football or basketball here? I'm confused.
No, the football. You brought up earlier in the show that Ohio high school team that goes 10-0 every year but never gets into the playoff because a weak league.
Right.
Yeah. But if the criteria is just winning the league.
Well, that's what the criteria is in the NCAA basketball tournament. Win your league and you get in. And I am okay with the conferences that we have if they expanded the playoff to do something along those lines. So the winner of the Pac-12 would get in. The winner of the SEC would get in. The winner of the Big Ten, the ACC. I feel like it should be like, because we know the winner of somebody's going to win the NFC East this year, right? They have to. There has to be a winner of that division, although that division is hot flaming garbage right now. Like, it's a mess. It is a mess. The Giants are 0-5 going into yesterday's action, and we're two games out of the race. Somebody's got to do it.
People have been clamoring this ever since they mentioned the word playoffs in college football. The logical conclusion everyone hit was like, okay, the Power Five conference winners gets in, three at large, 18 playoff.
But the three at large, think about who the three at large are going to be. Because Notre Dame kind of is in the ACC, kind of not. They get their own set of rules every year. Like, college football will adjust whatever they need to for Notre Dame. I don't care how rich your alumni base is. Your football team ain't any good, kid. Yeah, you're done here, all right? So who's your three at large? Notre Dame auto at large. That's what they would call that, the automatic at large bid, no matter what Notre Dame gets in.
Georgia,
there's two. So what are we, you know?
And whoever finishes behind Alabama in their division.
Perfect. So we can have the SEC West or whoever take on the rest of the field, which would include maybe Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, and then whoever, Oklahoma, or you know, whoever wants to be that last team.
Well, but Iowa State,
there you go. Cyclones, storm is brewing. Hashtag go clones. But the idea that we don't know what qualifies, basically, like, you win all your games, you could be UCF, win all your games and not get in because you play in a league that the committee doesn't respect. So why are Power Five and Group of Five even playing at all against each other? Is my next question. Like, I have more questions about college football than anything else. And a lot of people, like when John Wagner asked me a couple weeks ago, what do you enjoy more? From a game day fan experience, because the tailgating, the BAM, the tradition, the pageantry, the drive through the cornfields to get to Notre Dame's campus to sit there and do the funny thing with your arms. You know what I'm saying? Michigan kids singing Mr. Brightside, whatever they do at East Lansing and Spartan Stadium. Every school has their own tradition, right? Every school has their own traditions and their own cheers and their own elements that make their game day fun. There's no fans in the college football in the Big Ten this year anyway, so it doesn't matter. But for me, the pro game is the far superior product, and it's not even close. It is not even close. People want to talk. I love college football. I'm not knocking college football at all. But professional football is a far superior product. Because you know, like, oh, any given Sunday. That's the saying for pro football. College football, if you get upset, like, it's shocking. It's devastating. Right? It's not supposed to happen. Rarely ever does it happen. Like, who's Alabama losing to? What game are they overlooking that they're not prepared for? They're just an extremely well-coached team. That's what it comes down to. There's no App State happening there. There's no Toledo happening there. They're ready to play. You look at some of the offense. Dan sent me an article from the AP in the statistics that are being thrown around. Five different teams have gone over 700 yards in a game. North Texas has done it twice. FBF scoring average is up over 30 points per game, more than a point from last season, and slightly ahead of the record-setting 2016 season. So they're at 30.3 this year. They average 30 points per game there. Averaging just shy of 4 touchdowns per game per team. Everybody's scoring in an incredible clip. Clemson scored 73 against a conference opponent. Like I said, that's like Rutgers in Georgia Tech. North Texas put 52 on Middle Tennessee State. Memphis scored 50 against UCF. Arkansas State outscored Georgia State earlier in the week, 59-52 in the Fun Belt. Over the entire 2019 season, a team at 63 points 18 times. 7 teams have scored 63 points in a game this season alone. And remember, we're only using 77 of the available 130 teams thus far because of COVID-19. We're still waiting on the Big Ten, the Mountain West, to open their seasons this week. Then the Pac-12 and the MAC to start the first week in November.
Yeah, if you didn't hear, Joe Milton's going to throw for 1,000 yards each week.
That dude is the second coming of Christ, I heard.
You should go to South Bend. They have Jesus there.
All right, we're back with more Hour 3 X's and Bros coming at you next. I need some coffee, but I ran out of coffee. This is why I'm in bad shape right now. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked right here, Michigan Sports Network.
It's time to go in the huddle with Matt Shepard.
1, 2, 3, top flight!
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement because it's a day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
I know there are some of you Lions fans who are upset today, even though your team boasted a 34-16 win Sunday. You want the top pick and the best chance to draft Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. But oh well. The Lions did a lot of things well in Jacksonville. Nothing great, but solid. They built a big lead and held it. But the best aspect may have been the run defense. Going into the game, the Lions had allowed 5 yards per carry and 170 yards per game on the ground. But against the Jaguars, the Lions' defense limited the Jags' offense to just 44 yards rushing and less than 3 yards per touch. That is a long-term recipe for success, not likely to continue, but something on which to build. I know it was Jacksonville, but the Lions used the bye week to their advantage and created the reset it needed.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.